This is your protein, your carbohydrates, your fats. Alcohol technically is also considered a macronutrient, but that's very complex and we don't have to just consider it a carb for the time being until you want to learn more about it.
You're listening to Run, Thrive, Survive with Sierra Carter. With Sierra Carter. If you're looking for more energy, more productivity, and just an overall happier life, you're right where you need to be.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Run, Thrive, Survive. I'm your host, Sierra Carter, and as usual, we are here to run our lives and not let life run us by diving inside a runner's mind. This week, you guys, we got Mason here back on the podcast. You might have heard him on the last podcast that we did together, and he is back. So kind of interesting, the last podcast that we did together, he had a really interesting story about how he overcame, he was overweight and then he went to running and he lost all this weight. Now, side note, he's been studying nutrition for a while. Now, he's not a dietitian, but he's a nutritionist. He makes that clear. I just want to make that side note for the podcast. But we're going to dive into some sports nutrition today. And what's really cool is him and I dive into a little bit of the, I would say, the myth busting. Things that I feel like a lot of people know, but at the same time, I've been having a lot of conversations come up where people are shocked that it's that way instead of maybe the more mainstream way. And I'm trying to sugarcoat it without spoiling what we're going into because it's really, I really think it's a deep dive. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. Mason calls me out too. I do dance around the subject of eating meat as a runner because I know somebody's going to start arguing with me why we shouldn't eat meat. And I am such a meat eater that it makes me upset. So I danced around that topic, but we're into a lot of other topics such as supplements and, you know, what the proper like nutrition looks like versus, you know, what the American standard diet looks like. So you guys, I'm super excited to have Mason here on the podcast. But before I bring him on, I just want to give a shout out to you guys. Guys, we're almost at 10K on Instagram. That's super exciting because as the Instagram is built, so has the podcast. And I think you guys know when it comes to the podcast, I'm very, 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 passionate. I can't even find the words right now. Passionate when it comes to really helping society on the side of mental health. Like we guys, we have a problem with mental health. It doesn't matter who you are, what's going on. There's so many different things that are affecting our mental health. I have breakdowns. You have breakdowns. We all break down. And the thing is, I think as runners, as endurance athletes, because I'm going to have a couple triathletes coming on the podcast as just athletes ourselves in our community. We can't help everybody, but if we can just lift one person up in our community, I think that is a really good place to start when it comes to society and our mental health. So that's what this podcast is all about. It's about diving inside our minds, maybe sharing our struggles, sharing some things that we never thought we would before. And it's just really cool that I have all these guests coming on who are willing to be vulnerable, who are willing to like say things that maybe they've never said before, or maybe they're starting to realize as well. So you guys, if you know anybody on the, anybody at all that has an incredible story that really wants to share it and wants to, you know, help other people that might be going through it and maybe it's not as common, please send them my way. You can DM me on Instagram. Quite a few of you have, and I'm reaching out to them. We're getting those podcasts scheduled. I'm a little behind when it comes to editing. That's just how it goes. So I do apologize about that. Life's been crazy and I'm super excited to bring you guys those updates as well. But I love you guys. Without further ado, like and share with a friend. So let's get into the conversation with Mason. All right, guys, welcome back. I've got Mason here on the podcast. He is a returning guest. We had him not too long ago, maybe probably 4 or 5 episodes back. So if you want a little bit more about who he is, what he does, go back and listen to that episode. But right now I want to give an update or let Mason update us on everything that's happened since we last spoke. Welcome on, Mason.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what's been going on since last time we saw or we heard from you?
I mean, a little bit about MYB, my supplement company. Yeah. Things are good. We have some new products coming out. Been doing a lot of new product testing. So some fun things there. Lots of fun internal stuff as well. I like the business side. So some shifts there, which is really fun as well. As far as running goes, there's been a lot of changes. All my races, I've canceled the rest of the year until I run the Grand Canyon in October. I actually had
this October, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This October, I'm running rim to rim to rim.
That's not hopefully. Far away. I mean, that's a couple months.
No, road, it's not. So fingers crossed that that can even happen. Yeah. So I actually had a cardiac event happen. I guess we're coming up on like 3.5-4 weeks now. I went out on a bike ride, supplemental cardio. Everybody should do supplemental cardio, by the way. I was just going out for some supplemental cardio. I wasn't even 10 minutes into the ride and my heart just went all over the place. I didn't actually think it was my heart when it started. I thought it started as a really bad side stitch. Then I thought it was like abdominal issues. About an hour of laying actually right here on my floor for about 45 minutes until the stomach pain went away. And then it was all my chest. I went to the hospital, got it all checked, and I'm okay. Just to preface, I'm okay. All the tests came back. I basically was dealing with what the doctor has explained is extreme overtraining, where my heart tried to take a break, but your heart can't take a break or you die. So my heart tried to take a break. And so my body had an extreme, basically heart attack response to it. I didn't have a heart attack. My heart, they did all of the scans. I mean, literally every scan possible they did on my heart. I even did long-term stress testing. I wore an EKG for 2 weeks. And my heart is in perfect health. I just pushed myself too far.
Wow.
And so I've been easing back into things because it did take a very big physical toll. So I've been easing back into things, focusing a lot on my nutrition and focusing that on heart health specifically, as well as changing my training up a little bit. I'm good. We're back to pretty much normal. I started my new training routine this week and yeah, we're doing good. I'm back to normal, feeling good.
Wow. I'm glad you're okay. Now, this might be a dumb question, but do they say that's more common than we think in athletes? Have they seen that? Did anybody say anything? Because I feel like a lot of these are like hush, hush. Uh-oh. I'll just restart. Wow, I'm so happy you're okay. Now, let me ask you, this might be a dumb question, but did they say that was maybe more common than not with athletes? Do they see that often? Because it's like a hush-hush thing. Nobody wants to say they had a problem and admit maybe overtraining.
Yeah, it is. It's more common than you think. I've tried to be very open with it on social media. I give updates every day. I want people to know that it can happen to anyone. And also that the heart doesn't discriminate and we have to do everything we can to take care of it. Even in the most fit of athletes, you know, it can happen and it happens a lot in triathletes more than not, just because they're swimming, running, biking all at the same time. And so it does take a big toll on the heart. And so just making sure that you're taking care of yourself and nutrition in my opinion, is one of the biggest steps, but also just making sure that your training is where it needs to be as well, so that you aren't pushing it too far. And also so you're taking care of your heart in the long term, because we all want to live healthy forever. And so want to make sure you're taking care of it for 50, 60, 70 years down the road.
Oh gosh, big time. Now that kind of like leads us and segues us into today's topic is nutrition. We want to talk about nutrition for performance. So, I mean, I think a lot of times you'll hear people talk about nutrition. It's just like the regular, even like the food pyramid is like what people like always refer back to, but athletes are so much different. So I really wanted to have Mason back here on the podcast because he's really good at it. And I know some of it, but I also eat I like potatoes and I eat what I want. So I probably should get better myself. So Mason, let's go ahead and open up the conversation and talk about micro and macronutrients. And like I said before this podcast, I really wanted to ask you if you could break those down, both of those down for us, because a lot of people hear the terms, but we're not really sure what they mean.
Yeah, no, 100%. I also want to add so right now I'm getting my master's in nutrition and dietetics. I have my undergrad in public health nutrition. So anything that we talk about, obviously I would talk with a registered dietitian as well if you're looking for extra help. But to get into macros, to get into micros, so macronutrients are your base nutrients. They are the macro level. They're the big They're the big level things, to put it simply. This is your protein, your carbohydrates, your fats. Alcohol technically is also considered a macronutrient, but that's very complex. And we don't have to just consider it a carb for the time being until you want to learn more about it.
Now people are going to use this as, oh, hey, wait, it's a macro.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so carbs, proteins, fats, those are your macronutrients. Those are what gives you energy. Right. Those are what your comfort, that's where you get your calories from. Micronutrients are the small level things that are helping heal your body, antioxidants, phytochemicals, which are ingredients in plants that help heal parts of your body. They reduce oxidative stress, inflammation. They might help build proteins more efficiently. They might help break down carbohydrates more efficiently. Yeah. They have lots of different roles in the body, but they're not providing you with energy. So macros are energy, micros are supporting.
Okay.
A really simple way to put it.
Super. I love that. I'm so glad that you broke that down because you always have to refresh your mind on what those are. So let me ask you this. When it comes to, I guess I don't want to overload these questions, but when it comes to sports and fitness, what would be more important to focus on in the, I guess, the broad range and then really narrow down as training gets in, gets into it?
Okay. So yeah, to really focus on that, I would focus on, to get really simple with it to start, focus on making sure that you're eating enough calories and a good balance of your macronutrients, especially if you're running a lot. And I don't like to put numbers to running a lot. I would think of it more as a time thing versus a mileage thing. So if you're running, if you're running more than 5 to 6, I'd say probably 5 to 7 hours a week, you're running quite a bit. And that's when you really should be focusing on the macros and the calories and just starting with that and having a good balance of your macros. Again, this is fat, carbs, and protein.
That's so interesting that you go by time. I actually haven't heard that before and I love that. I was going to ask you, I think one of the biggest ways I kind of perceive if I'm eating enough or maybe not eating enough is perceived effort. If I'm starving during the day after I ran in the morning, I do. I add a snack. Usually it's high protein, something that will hold me over and not just fill me up with empty calories. What would you say to runners that maybe go that method or people that are looking for ways to go off of it without counting calories?
Yeah, it gets hard in that area when you're not counting calories.
Yeah.
I count my calories on big days. Big days for me are 10-mile runs. Anything past that, and that's a big day for me. Anything past that, I'll track my calories, or if I feel like I'm off, I track my calories. And it's because for me, being heavier, being 200 pounds, I have to make sure that I'm eating enough.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean that you have to track your calories. You can't get into the hunger aspect of things. We always make the joke as runners that we're always hungry.
So true, though.
Yeah, and part of that has to do with hormones. It's a hormone called leptin, tells you how hungry you are. We produce it a little bit differently than the average person. And so it gets kind of difficult at that point because there are days when I've, let's say I burned 2,500 calories on a really long run and I need another 2,500 calories to maintain my weight. I need to eat 5,000 calories. There are days that I'll hit even 5,500 calories on that day and I'm still hungry. So sometimes it gets hard. I think it's good to eat more satiating foods. Your higher protein foods are a better way to go if you're worried about that, or if you're maybe on a weight loss journey with your running, focusing on the satiating foods. So specifically your high protein and your higher fat foods, and making sure that they're high quality as well. You can eat a protein snack or a fat snack, but it might be not good. And so making sure that you're eating high quality with that is really important.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I think this is a general rule of thumb that you see everywhere, and it's to balance your carb to your protein intake when it comes to snacks.
Who cares?
Oh, I like that answer. Okay, why?
I'm plant-based. I'm very big on eating very specific foods, but also as long as it's high quality, just eat what it eat, right. what makes you feel good. There's the, you know, I like the word everybody because it's everybody and everybody in one word.
I like that.
And yeah. everybody and everybody is different. And so you have to feed into that essentially. And you have to feed yourself how,
yeah,
the foods that you like. If you don't eat the foods that you like, then you're just going to hate life. So
it's so true though. We restrict ourselves so often. Oh, let me ask you a question about that. Okay. Difference between performance eating for performance and eating for weight loss in
very different.
Yeah. How do they differ? Because I feel like people really try to mesh them together.
Yeah. So if you are on a weight loss journey, focus on that. I hate the nutrition industry. I love it. That's why I'm doing it, but I hate it because it's so convoluted and confusing and it's so complex, but it really is very simple. When you break it down, it's eat enough calories. This is specifically for weight loss. I'm making sure that you're eating enough calories at a deficit, which is why I am an advocate for tracking your food when you're losing weight. I also be careful with tracking food. I don't like it. I like it, but making sure that you're having a slight deficit in your calories and that you're eating high nutrient dense foods. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest thing for weight loss is a deficit and high nutrient dense. Because if you're eating high nutrient dense foods, you're naturally going to have a slight deficit because the high nutrient dense foods are lower in calories. Because the food can only hold so much of stuff. Oh. And so if it's higher in micronutrients, it can't have more macros and vice versa.
Oh, I'm glad that you broke that down. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. That's why plant foods are pushed as, you know, the good, like eat a salad.
Yeah.
But quality. That's why they say eat a salad when you're trying to lose weight, because you have way more micros versus eat a steak, you have way more macros. And so there's that difference between the two and making sure that you're eating in a deficit, eating high nutrient dense foods. And this is specifically for weight loss.
Yeah.
No, but don't have too big of a deficit either. There's a balance between the two. If you don't eat enough, you'll actually gain weight until your body gives up and then you just, but don't do that.
And that has a lot to do with your metabolism, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. That's a more complicated, scientific, confusing thing. It really just comes down to like making sure that you're eating, like if you need, let's say you need 2,500 calories per day to maintain your current weight. Okay. That means that you should be eating about 2,200 calories, 2,000 to 2,300 calories per day in order to lose weight. Getting below that 2,000 calorie mark, specifically, again, we're referring to the 2,500 calories, getting below that 2,000 calorie mark, you're getting into a dangerous area of not eating enough. And that's when your body is not going to lose weight and you're going to feel crappy. And so you want to make sure there's a good balance. There's a nice range, which is always nice with this stuff, but there is like, you don't want to go below certain numbers.
Right. And you don't want to fill up on Snickers to get to those certain numbers either, you know, like that quality food. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's hop back over into athletic training and really like kind of dive into like maybe the more of the specific foods that endurance athletes, specifically runners, should be focusing their efforts on without trying to, you know, go overboard. Like I said at the beginning, I probably eat way more potatoes than I should. And I'm lacking other areas. So I'm curious myself.
So honestly, potatoes are fantastic for runners. Keep eating the potatoes. I love potatoes. They're my like French fries are my guilty pleasure. Yeah. I eat very, very clean, but I get made fun of for it on a regular basis. But like everybody asks, well, what's your guilty pleasure? I'm like potatoes always. Oh, yeah. Specifically fries. But really when it comes down to enhancing your running performance, it comes down to carbs. That's what our energy source is carbs and fat. And you get the keto people who are like, well, fat is energy. Fat gets converted to carbs. When you need it for energy, it gets converted to carbs. Yeah. So carbs are energy. It doesn't matter what you eat. It will get converted back to glycogen, which is the base molecule for a carbohydrate. So if you eat protein and you don't eat enough carbs, your body's going to turn that protein through gluconeogenesis is the process that it's called, and turn it into glycogen.
Is that the process of breaking down your muscles at that point?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Your body will either break down its muscles, which is part of the reason why runners are so skinny, or if you're eating a really high protein diet,
more carbs.
Yeah. If you're eating a really high protein diet, right. It also will do that. That is very damaging to the body. Mm-hmm. Gluconeogenesis is very, it causes a lot of inflammation and oxidative stress. You don't want that to be your pathway for fuel. You shouldn't be eating, as a runner, you shouldn't be eating more than 1 gram per pound of body weight. That's everybody. Nobody should be eating more than that. And runners, it's honestly
1 gram of what? Less. Protein or carbs?
Protein. 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So I weigh 200 pounds. I shouldn't eat more than 200 grams of protein. I eat 180 grams nice. Of, I eat 180 grams of protein every day for reference. And I weigh 200 pounds. So, yeah, people go way too hard or not enough with protein. Just, it's right in the so middle true. There. 1.2 grams per kilogram is another good, I know it's metric and we don't want to do anything with the metric system, but that's, yeah, 1.2 grams per kilogram. Yeah, exactly. So focusing on carbohydrate intake specifically. And then with that, you want a good mix of simple, which is your white breads, your white rices, your potatoes, and complex carbohydrates, which is your brown rice, your sweet potatoes, your whole grain breads, stuff like that. And you want a good balance. I always say more complex than simple, but also if you're going to run a marathon, you need way more simple than complex.
Okay. So I was going to ask you to kind of break that down. Like, what does it look like for you? What are your go-tos in that category? Just to kind of give people an idea.
So for me, I think this is to not overcomplicate things. For me, I try not to eat more than 70 grams of fiber.
Okay.
You don't want too much fiber. And that's complex carbohydrates is what gives you fiber. Eating too much fiber diminishes absorption of nutrients. But you also want enough. I say the range is 50 to 70 grams of fiber. If you're hitting those numbers in between there, beautiful. The rest can be simple. That is, I think, as long as you're hitting that 50 to 70 grams of fiber mark, and this doesn't mean go drink a whole drink of psyllium husk and then eat all the white rice you want. You still need to be eating that kind of
stuff. I was thinking watermelon. I know watermelon's super high in fiber.
Yeah. You want it to be mixed. So for me, my fiber mainly actually comes from vegetables.
Okay.
I don't eat, and then some quinoa as well. I like to get some fiber from that as well. I'm not a big grain guy, even though grains are one of the healthiest foods you can eat. I'm kind of picky when it comes to that.
No, I totally understand that.
Yeah, quinoa is one that I do like, though. Very high in protein as well. Quinoa has 8 grams of protein per serving. So very high in protein as far as that goes. But and then I white rice, white bread, I eat those every day. Potatoes every once in a while. I also love sweet potatoes. That's a complex carbohydrate. I'll eat that as well, which is kind of technically a vegetable. But those are my go-tos for that kind of stuff, is eating lots of vegetables, sweet potatoes, beans, and then the rest is white rice and white bread.
Let me ask you about the white bread, because I'm curious. I just want to stop for a minute on that one, because so many people are, I feel like it was this huge topic for a really long time. Don't eat certain breads on the shelves because if you look at it, it's more sugar and chemicals than it is bread. Do you get like a certain bakery bread? Do you make it on your own, or are you cool with just eating what's on the shelves? I think that's
no. Something- I refuse to eat bag up or bread off the shelf. Right. It's not. It's just
not bread.
Like if I'm traveling, it's a different story.
Okay.
Like I'm going out of town this weekend, and we're doing a bunch of boating, and so like I'll buy Dave's Killer Bread.
Is that the killer bread protein is just that, in it, or I'm trying to think.
I think it has a little bit of protein, extra protein, but it's just it a whole. Okay. Yeah, the dude like flexing on it.
Yes. And his bagels.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, I'll use that when I go out of town, because that's probably one of the higher quality breads on the shelf. But I shop at Harmon's, which is a store local to Utah, and I just get their bakery bread because it's just wheat and water.
Yeah.
And so
it's good too.
Yeah, it is really good. I get their sourdough, but that does matter. That does matter, because those things are filled with so much crap. It's just.
Yeah. Cause it's either one, it's one of those things like people either just blow past, don't think about, or they're like putting way too much thought into it. And now they're afraid of all breads.
So yeah, bakery, don't be afraid
bread.
Of bread.
Don't. Right.
Bread is our friend.
I love bread. Bread is great. Feed the it other is. Ones to the ducks.
Yeah.
Make friends with yep. the ducks. Oh gosh. I love that. So let's kind of move into supplements because this one is such a crazy area. I feel like there's almost feuds about supplements when it comes to the running community. Sometimes, not all the time, yeah. but it's like, it's either I take all the supplements or it's like, I won't touch them. And you have a supplement company. So yeah. I first question before we really open ourselves to it, I want to ask you biggest topic. If they're not FDA approved, are they safe?
Yes. Right. There isn't a single supplement on the market, at least to my knowledge, that's FDA approved. Right. That's not owned by a pharmaceutical company. And honestly, our pharmaceutical companies actually in our best interest. That's another topic. Yeah. And so, I mean, look for simplicity of ingredients. If you're worried about that, if you're eating, and consuming simple label, natural, so like natural flavors, and then looking for, so for proteins, for instance, making sure that it's organic or grass fed, if it's whey, stuff like that. And then making sure the label is simple. If you have a label that's so long that you feel like you're reading a 500-page novel, don't buy it. Yeah. If you're buying things with proprietary blends, don't buy it. Proprietary oh. blends usually are lies, and that you can get real things can get sketchy with proprietary blends. So proprietary blends, for anybody that doesn't know, is where it says like it'll say, for instance, nitric oxide blend, and then it'll say 4 grams, and then below that you see a list of 15 ingredients. Whereas, for instance, my supplements, and this isn't to say that my supplements are the best out there, but we have ours are listed out exactly what's in it. Citrulline, beta-alanine, taurine, tyrosine, caffeine. And it's right there in front of you. It tells you how much of each ingredient is in it. And like, so making sure that you find simple, transparent labels is important.
Interesting.
If you're doing that, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you, like, what are the words that we should watch out for on supplements? Because
proprietary is a big one. Interesting. Artificial. If you ever see the word artificial, yeah. like you'll see natural and artificial flavors. And then anything, if you ever see the word FD&C, that is a food dye. Stay away from those.
Okay. I was even thinking, what about that sugar alcohol? I don't even know what that is. Do you know?
Sugar alcohols are just a type of basically calorie-free sugar substitute made with alcohol, which is why they're sugar alcohols. Erythritol, xylitol, sorbitol. Okay. These are your big ones that you'll see. Sorbitol is typically in toothpastes. Xylitol, erythritol, you'll find in foods. They can cause GI distress. I will be in the bathroom all day. So, but they're not per se bad. I say go as natural as you can.
Right.
That's my go-to, go as natural as you can. But like, if you're trying to find a, let's say ice cream, you love ice cream, but you know that you just need to back off the sugar, whether it's diabetes or whatever it may be, you're trying to avoid and take care of, Halo Top. It has a ton of
I love that stuff. Alcohol. It's really good.
Yeah, it has like 30 grams of sugar alcohol though, which kills me.
That's gross.
But I mean, it's on it. Like, if you're trying to find a per se healthier option
outside of the sugar,
that's just an example off the top of my head. They're not bad, but they're not great. I say go if you're looking for like the sweetener side, look for things with sugar. Who cares?
Yeah.
Look for things with like raw cane sugar, brown sugar, brown rice sugar, and then stevia, which is a natural high intensity sweetener, is what they call them.
Oh, interesting.
Sucralose, stevia is the natural version of sucralose, essentially. Oh, wow.
Gosh, the more you know. I only brought up sugar alcohol because I remember it gives me GI issues, and it was in a lot of protein bars.
Yes, they do that. They do it because, I mean, you want, when you're getting a protein bar, you want it to tastes like a candy bar, perceivably.
Yeah.
It's like true. That's just how
like
us as consumers. Yeah. It's how us as consumers, we want a healthy candy bar essentially. And you can't do that without sugar.
True. Yeah.
So they use sugar alcohol.
So they use something else. Oh, that makes so much more sense. Okay. So let me ask you this for runners. When it comes to supplements, because we can over supplement, we can make a supplement for everything. What are the main ones that you would recommend for people that are in endurance endurance training? Like very specific ones that your body's most likely not getting enough of from other places.
I say go as simple as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Protein, electrolytes.
So no like BCAAs or
no, those are complete BS in case you were wondering. BCAAs do nothing. If you want to add in another helper, fish oil. Those three are big heavy hitters that will improve your performance and give you everything that you need. So again, that's protein powder, whatever kind of protein powder you like. Again, just make sure simple, clean label. Electrolytes. We all know what electrolytes are. And then a fish oil supplement. If you're doing that, you're going to be just fine. If you want to get more complex beyond that, I'm going to insert my own brand, pre-workout. Pre-workout's always nice. I love taking pre-workout, making sure that it's meant for runners, which is what my brand does, is we've specifically made a pre-workout supplement that's meant for running, cycling, swimming, et cetera. So it actually benefits your performance. Making sure you find a brand, whether it's mine or not, making sure you find a brand that's meant for that. So that's one that you can do. Creatine, which I know gets a bad rap.
I was curious. I was going to ask you about the creatine.
I take creatine every day. Creatine will boost your running performance. It's meant to help with muscular endurance. It helps your body produce ATP, which is what glycogen gets broken down into to give you energy is ATP. So creatine is great for runners. Creatine is another one that will help boost your performance. And then nitric oxide, which is what helps your blood vessels expand.
Is that a powder? What is that? I'm trying to think.
So nitric oxide comes, I was just about to explain it. So
sorry.
For instance, my pre-workout has, no, it's okay. My pre-workout has nitric oxide. Citrulline and arginine are your chemical derivatives. I say chemical, like you guys can't see me, but quotations, chemical, because it's not that chemicals, everything is chemicals, but those are the chemical derivatives that come from the foods. Beets are the most prevalent nitric oxide booster that's out there. So beet juice, I'm sure many of us have heard about beet juice.
Yeah.
Beet juice is a fantastic natural nitric oxide booster that will help open up your blood vessels, which allows you to give more power to whatever exercise that you're doing. Watermelon has a ton of citrulline in it. Beets are the most prevalent though, where you'll see you can get beet powder. You can just get beet powder. And I do that before big runs. I went through this kick for a while where I didn't take pre-workout or caffeine or anything. I would just drink like a liter of beet juice and go for a run. And it works. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Powder. You didn't like juice the beets on your own.
No, I did not. Okay. That's a mess. Well, if you want to stain your whole kitchen red, you can that yourself.
I used to do that. That's why I asked. Because I did used to do that. And I was like, please tell me the powder's just as effective as doing it myself.
Okay. The powder is just. Okay. Now, make sure it's just beet powder. There are so many companies that are making these beet powder supplements that are not. It's
super
like
beets.
A third beets. And it's a bunch of random stuff. Just make sure it's pure beet powder.
Okay.
You can literally look up bulk supplements beet powder.
Oh, okay.
And that's if you want to get organic, there's other brands that are out there. But you can literally just get beet powder that's not marked up by super. I think it's like Super Beets or something like that. They're the big one that you'll see for runners and cyclists. They mark it up a ton. It's just beet powder. Those are, again, core protein, electrolytes, fish oil, and then anything beyond that, you can kind of experiment with what you want. Yeah. Those are just my recommendations beyond that.
I got to dive into electrolytes before we really start. Like, I feel like we're going to have like 10 more podcasts for all of these, but electrolytes, because I feel like there's such a fight in electrolytes, and I've really gone salt based on electrolytes, but there's so many companies out there that are, sugar based with their electrolytes. Is there a difference?
No.
Is there? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to flat out say no. Any liquid IV is complete. It's a
lie. Yes. Thank you.
It's BS.
Yeah.
Now, is it great to help you consume more water? Sure. But it honestly doesn't.
And more sugar.
Yeah. It doesn't hydrate you. There's so much sugar in it. Carbohydrates dehydrate you. You require water every step of the, every step of glycolysis, which is the breakdown of carbohydrates. And then the Krebs cycle, which is the step beyond glycolysis mm-hmm. that breaks it down even more. And then the electron transport chain. These are the steps that break down carbohydrates into energy. Those three steps all require a ton of water. And so if you are drinking a bunch of carbs, and then also you have to have a balance of sodium to H2O in your body. So if you have, now if you're dehydrating yourself with carbs and then adding sodium into the system, you're just dehydrating your body. So anything with sugar is not going to hydrate you unless you're adding in extras like coconut water powder, things like that, that maybe helps cellular hydration. But even then, I say avoid the sugar-based electrolyte powders. Now, carb powders are great for running. I'm not saying to not drink these things, but I would use them as a carb powder, not a hydration powder.
It's almost like giving somebody that has, I think, type 1 diabetes, right? That needs that like extra like kick or something where they're like getting mm-hmm. really low. I feel like that's where they're going for it, but they marketed to the wrong group.
Well, and yeah, well, and then even like, I think it's BPN. BPN makes a carb powder that's like targeted for runners. It's like GM1 Sport or something like that. It's meant for runners. It's just a carb powder with some electrolytes to help with some hydration, but like it's marketed as a carb powder to give you energy when you're running 100 miles, 50 miles, 30 miles, even a marathon. Because you get 40 grams of carbs in a water bottle. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome. It's better than a goo in some cases.
Oh, goos. I don't like. Oh, that will have to be another one about goos. I have to ask. I have to pick your brain about goos. So real
but,
quick.
What's your go-to
electrolytes then? Do you have one for your company or do you have to?
Yeah, that's one of our new products.
Cool.
Yep. It's one of our new products. It's coming out. It's not out yet. But yeah, so we'll have an elect and it's, yeah, spoiler. You're the first to hear it.
Yay.
And actually, we have not announced that at all. I'm probably going to get in trouble. Who cares? it's fine. And ours is just going to be electrolytes, sodium, potassium, magnesium. Look for the simplicity. I talk about simplicity. You'll hear me say if I come back and talk about more stuff later, simplicity, simplicity, simplicity. My go-to right now, while we don't have our own, is Element.
I love Element.
Which I know you love.
Oh my God, yeah. I love Element.
I think it's a little high in sodium.
With
that much sodium, you do, I think, based off the research, I base everything I do off of research. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, being in grad school, I have access to all these databases and can read all this research.
Yeah.
You need higher potassium if you're going to have that much sodium. And that's what ours is balanced a little bit better in that aspect. Mm. Not saying Element's bad. Element is my personal go-to. Another great brand is Relight. They just make
cool.
Yeah. I actually think they're Utah based, but they just make electrolytes just like Element. All they do is make electrolytes. It's just the Element has stick packs. Relight is a powder. Honestly, as long as it's simple too, like who cares?
Yeah, this is true.
Just drink as long as it's simple and natural, do your thing.
Yeah. No, I switched over to Element when I moved here to Utah. And like a big thing I used to say is when I came here to Utah from Florida, mm-hmm. I was always craving salt here where like every food that I tasted, I would like pour salt onto it. And then finally someone said that might be a sign of my dehydration. And my doctor actually told me, go get Element packs. He's like, I don't care. He's like, if they taste salty, he's like, just drink them. He's like, just drink it.
For Element a couple days, does taste very salty. I think they taste good though.
I think they taste great now, but when you first taste it, you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our product that we're coming out with will taste a little less salty than Element.
Is that because of the potassium like ratio?
Yeah. So we have a little bit more potassium, a little less sodium.
Cool.
And it's still potassium chloride. It's still a chloride. It's still a salt. All of them are salts. We're using magnesium malate, which is a This is actually also what Element uses, magnesium malate, as the, it's the most absorbed, it's the highest, it has the highest bioavailability of magnesium. And then sodium chloride or potassium chloride. And then we're going to use pink Himalayan salt because it has some extra micros. But again, sea salt is just fine. You don't have to pick and choose between the two. They're both great. As long as you see sea salt, pink Himalayan salt, you're good to go.
I love pink Himalayan salt. I love it. I think it tastes so much better than regular sea salt. It does.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's just so much information. But we're going to have to wrap up the podcast. I feel awful saying that, but I've got questions for you. First one is, what is a quote that you live by?
I have a couple. And it kind of changes. It changes quite a bit over time. And right now, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, go for it.
the thing I'm kind of living by right now is fuck everything else. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. I think and this is a fault of mine, and not to say it's a fault, but it's something that I don't focus enough on myself. I focus too much time on taking care of the people around me. You should still take care of the people around you, but I put too much energy into those around me. Yeah. And you should really focus on yourself. Take care of yourself. Love yourself. Do things for yourself, because if you aren't there for yourself, you can't be there for other people.
Can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah. And that includes running. So run. Oh, when you're running, run for yourself. Do it for yourself. Yeah. Don't do it for Strava. Don't do it for anything like that. Do it for yourself.
We get so caught up in everything else. It's so true. I'm going to do this to prove somebody wrong. It's just like that just never works. I agree.
And it's okay to still do it sometimes, but be there for yourself.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Fuck everything else.
I love that. I absolutely love that. All right, second question. And because you've already answered the third question, the first podcast, this is the last question. Because we talked about it earlier in the podcast too. Where in Salt Lake City are the best fries? Oh. Great question, right?
It really is. I mean, they're all good.
But like, where's your like go-to? Cause I can tell you mine. Like I love all fries, but I've found like some of the best fries. I'm like, I crave a lot.
Okay. I'm going to throw you a curveball here.
Okay.
Lazee's.
Oh my God.
Lazee's Kitchen. It is a Mediterranean restaurant, downtown. They do lentils and falafel and like true Middle Eastern Mediterranean food. They do make fries, and they season it with I don't know how to say it. I'm going to botch it. The za'atar seasoning or whatever that is. Those I think are probably the best fries in Salt Lake. They're up there.
Oh my God. Now I have to go there. Now I'm curious about these fries. That sounds so, I like the seasoning. The seasoning I think does it for me.
Yeah. And then if you want just like simple, fries, Proper Burger.
Huh.
I've heard of that. Avenues Proper. Avenues Proper, because you have Proper Brewing, and then they have Proper Burger, and then they have Avenues Proper.
Yeah.
Avenues Proper is like their fancy. It's not really that fancy restaurant up in the avenues.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you, a lot of these like pubs and like little restaurants around Salt Lake, they have some really, really, really good fries. I'm pretty impressed with the fries.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Yeah.
I think the Bayou gets way too much hype. It's just their sauce. Their fries suck.
Never been to the Bayou.
Like the best fries in Salt Lake, but I think it's the sauce.
Really? It must be the sauce. Because I was going to say, I'm trying to think. There's two places now that we're thinking. One, my dirty like secret with fries. Houston Hot Chicken, I think, has some of the best Cajun fries I've ever had.
I don't even know what that place is.
It's over here in Lehigh. It's like way south. I think there's only one location right now, but best fries. I don't like chicken, but that was the best fries I've ever had. There's a German pub, and I can't think of the name of it. And
Piper Down?
It's in Murray.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, so there's a German pub. Maybe I'll have this in the show notes by the time I look this up. They have the best garlic parmesan fries I've ever had in my life. And they're skinny ones. I usually like thick, like wedge fries, but these are
Yeah. See, this is where I get like, my opinion maybe isn't that
right.
Great because I'm plant-based. I don't eat cheese. I don't eat dairy. I don't eat. So like anything cooked in lard, I don't eat it. Which a lot of fries are cooked in lard. Yeah. So I don't eat those fries. And then I don't eat anything with cheese. I know I suck. I'm boring, but.
Well, enjoy your lettuce and potatoes.
I will. And beans. Don't forget the beans. Eat more beans. If you take anything away from this episode, it's eat more beans.
More protein, right?
Yeah. Well, not protein, just beans. Just eat more beans.
Well, isn't bean technically have a lot of protein in it?
It does. Okay. Yeah, it has a ton of protein. Like per pound, it's pretty on par with a lot of meats. But awesome. Yeah, lots of fiber though. Lots of fiber.
This is true.
Yeah.
All right, Mason, where can they find you and your company to go look up the supplements too?
I'm Buff Runner on Instagram and then MYB. So literally MYB subs is also on Instagram.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you here again next time.